Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. It's 11 minutes past 8 o'clock. It's Thursday morning, February 24th, 2022. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin, and thanks for tuning in to KSJE, 90.9 FM over the air, of course, here in San Juan County, streaming everywhere else from KSJE.com, and working very hard to get back on the air in Durango for you at 103.3 FM. You can also watch us, of course. It's a visual radio program on this visual radio station. The show is streaming out live this morning to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and even our Twitter account. So you have your choices there as well. Coming up this morning, we'll be talking with Douglas Joe from the San Juan County Partnership. He's with the Housing Assistance Program. Lots of information to share about housing in San Juan County and helping those who are homeless or maybe threatened with homelessness. So we'll talk more about that in the next few moments right here on KSJE. And then later on this morning at 8:45 or so, we're going to be talking about a special event coming up for veterans who actually are homeowners and property owners in San Juan County. The county assessor wants to make sure that they are getting all the benefits they're entitled to. So we'll talk about an event coming up to make sure of that later on this hour at 8:45 on KSJE. Next hour, of course, roving with the arts, our classical music program, and Mick Hess is going to be hosting that for us, and he is playing music from the great Joseph Haydn is what I'm trying to show you. There he is on the program today. That's coming up at 9:06 on KSJE. And don't forget, you can also connect with us on our Instagram page in addition to our other social media platforms. And if you're a podcast listener, you can subscribe for free to KSJE Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, so check us out there as well. And we want to talk a little bit about the weather today, of course. There is currently the only school we are notified that has a impact from the weather is the Central Consolidated School District. They're operating so far on a two-hour delay this morning for the Central Consolidated Schools. All other school districts report business as usual this morning because of the weather. And gosh, we're flipping through these awfully quickly. Let me try to get back to the page I wanted to show you for the road conditions, of course. Here's a picture from about 7:41 this morning of Highway 550 at the Continental Divide. Of course, that's just outside of Cuba, New Mexico. And as you can see, the highway looks to be still a bit snow-covered. Can't tell if that's an icy road surface, or maybe that's where the tracks have kind of ground down to the pavement, but do be careful. Road conditions could certainly change as you're traveling around. Roads in the city limits, at least in the Farmington city limits, as I was coming into the station this morning, seem pretty dry this morning. Our weather forecast does call for a few more snow showers today, maybe more in the morning, but we're expecting a mostly sunny day by the afternoon today. The high 36 in Farmington, and then clear skies tonight, but cold. The low 15. Sunshine tomorrow with a high of 44 on Friday, 16 degrees overnight. Mostly sunny, a bit cooler on Saturday, the high 41, 48 on Sunday, maybe up to 51 on Monday. Mostly sunny, mid-50s by Tuesday, and maybe low 60s by the middle of next week, which is March already. So we'll take a look and see if that happens or not. Let me turn to my guest, though, who is here with me this morning, as I mentioned, representing the San Juan County Partnership, their Housing Assistance Program Manager. Douglas Joe is back with me in the studio, and good morning. Good to have you back.
Good morning, Scott. It's good to be back.
Thanks for coming in. You've been busy.
Oh, really busy.
Right?
Really busy, yes.
The last couple of years. And we were talking before we came on the air this morning that the need for housing here in San Juan County is still pretty high. You've got waiting lists for apartments or places where folks can go, correct, to come to your office looking for help?
Yes. I probably have like a dozen individuals looking for one bedrooms. Then I have one family looking for a four-bedroom. And then I have another family looking for a two-bedroom.
Okay.
So for one-bedrooms, they're pretty high.
That's your largest waiting list, right, for
yes,
the one-bedroom?
For one-bedroom.
Got it. And so remind us again about your program and what it does. It really works to help people who are threatened with homelessness or experiencing homelessness? Is that kind of the criteria?
Yes, and we get our referrals from Presbyterian Medical Services and also Total Behavioral Health and also from the shelter, The Path. And our, other than that, they are walk-ins, and then
sure.
we'll process them in as they come into our office. I have two staff there, Angelina Martin and also Althea Stevenson. They are the intake coordinators for our office for those grants. So they are pretty busy.
Gotcha.
And we do have them do surveys too when the walk-ins do come in. And the surveys usually take up to about 45 minutes.
And the surveys are asking about just their
yes,
their
just
certain
where they're
coming
from,
their situations?
Their situation and where they're living at, their income, household, things
right.
like that.
Got you. Mm-hmm. And that's needs to be done for almost everybody, doesn't it? To make
yes,
sure they qualify for these grant programs that you have
yes,
access to,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of then the next step, I suppose, right?
Yes, that's the next step, yeah. Once we collect all the documents, and also we work with their case managers too,
mm-hmm.
and all those documents are emailed over to our office, to the coordinators, and once all the documents are there, then we start the process, seeing which they qualify for, either one, two, or three, or four bedrooms.
Right.
And usually I'm out there with them looking for these units with them. And because some of them come without no vehicles, so I'm out there picking them up and showing them all the apartments that are available.
Right.
And then they'll decide which one they want.
Sure. That's left to the individual, right?
Yes,
but I guess
uh-huh.
if I don't have a vehicle, maybe I want something near a bus line or something, right?
Oh,
or
yeah,
a bus stop.
Uh-huh. Yes,
is that
uh-huh.
how it
the
works?
Red Apple.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not too sure if it still runs out to Bloomfield and Aztec anymore yet.
I think they still have some, exactly. some routes, but maybe not a lot of routes
yeah.
every day. But for sure, that's still something to be aware of. But you're dealing with properties throughout the county, right? So it's not
yes.
just Farmington. You
not
do
just
have
Farmington.
Maybe access to rentals and available housing in Aztec and Bloomfield and maybe even the Kirtland area as well, correct?
Yes. Uh-huh. I see rentals being posted over in Kirtland too.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually go out there and look at them. And then... other owners of hotels and motels, bed and breakfast place, they're changing their, business into one bedrooms.
We were talking about
suites.
That, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And so so that's happening, right? There are a lot of, some of the hotels, or motels I probably would, is a better mm-hmm. term, in Farmington are kind of changing those motel rooms into maybe studio apartments and putting them up for rent.
Yes, and I've noticed those, and I went to one the other day just to meet with the manager. So right now I just got to talk to the owner to see what else are other changes they're going to make to those motel rooms, because there are certain criteria that are required for my clients to be able to move into those units. And it's just basically that it has to have a living room, a bathroom, and a kitchen, a stove, and a fridge.
Okay.
Yeah.
And most motel rooms don't have a kitchen area, but
yeah.
these owners are doing some renovations to
yeah,
add a kitchenette or something into mm-hmm. these spaces, and that may make it eligible for your programs.
Yeah, and I'm willing to work with them. That's
gotcha.
Why I go around and look and see what's being posted, and if it's like a motel, yeah, I'll go over there and see if I can sit down with the owners. And,
right.
Get that corrected.
Okay, mm-hmm. very good. Probably makes, I'm thinking business-wise, for an owner, you know, if you're not renting out your motel rooms, swapping them out as rentals might be a good business plan, at least in the short term,
yes.
to help
uh-huh.
with the housing crunch. Because we do, as you were talking about, you've got a big waiting list for these one-bedroom apartments.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Not so much maybe for the other ones, but again, I'm sure that there's a lot of folks out there that are looking for affordable housing, and that's the other big part of this, right?
Uh-huh. And I've seen the list hasn't really gone down at our office. It kind of stays the same, or either goes up. But it won't go down, that's for sure.
Right. And so that's what you work with. And now, before we get too far into it, I wanted to let everyone know you were telling me that you're having some phone issues at the office, and so folks aren't able to maybe call you, but the office is now open, so they can come in and see you, correct?
Yes, our office is open. Just come on in. We're at 1515 East 20th Street, Suite C. And I didn't know my phone was down until I met with one of the participants in Bloomfield, and she told me, she goes, listen to my voicemail, and she dialed our office, and it said that your phone number is currently being blocked at this time. We're not accepting calls from you.
Whoops.
So,
which is not true.
Basically what I said, yeah, it wasn't true. So we had new phones installed, so they're doing the correction, and I just did a follow-up this morning before I came here, and I was told that it should be done and fixed by today.
Okay. Yeah. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
So, but
yes.
If you're getting that message, it's mm-hmm. not it's not you.
Yeah, it's not us. It's just a phone. It's I don't know what happened.
It's your side and mm-hmm. your office's side, so you're getting it fixed. So that's yeah. good to know. So you are working with almost what you've got six grant programs or more than six that you were working with?
Seven.
Seven now.
Yeah. So we got one grant coming from Totop Behavioral Health, mm-hmm. which is we call the Linkage Program. Then we have the COVID HPRR grants. Then we also have the regular grants. They call it the regular HP, regular RR. Then we also have the PSH grants. So that's about seven there. And I also applied for another veterans grant. We still have one that I think we have 1,500 in there for to assist a veteran. So if there's a veteran out there that needs our assistance, basically we ask for your DD form 214.
Okay.
And just have that available.
Gotcha.
And other than that, we'll just ask for your other documentation where you need assistance with.
Gotcha. And so it sounds to me like for folks who maybe are looking for needing housing or looking for housing assistance, until they come in to see you in the office, they may not know what they're eligible for or what programs they maybe qualify for until they go through that interview and
yes,
and uh-huh. your folks find out what their income is and maybe mm-hmm. if they have a veteran service in the past, that would maybe make them eligible for more assistance. Who knows?
Yes, and a lot of them, they usually call our office and ask what type of assistance we have available for them, and we'll go ahead and give them that information. And at the same time, we'll do a survey with them to see if they do also qualify. And once they qualify, we let them know that they do qualify. And then we'll start the process from there. And a lot of them are like behind on rent, like maybe 2 or 3 months. And then they get a 3-day eviction notice from their landlord. And we tell them, bring those documents in. Then we'll start the process with them. Or others are still just waiting, having to do the survey, and also they're looking for a shelter to stay at, so we refer them over to the PATH.
Right, of yeah. course. And they may have other programs. If they don't have room at the PATH, they may have some other programs to refer them to from their agency?
Yes, from the PATH, they might be referring them to somewhere else.
Right, yeah. Got you. And you were talking about people maybe getting an eviction notice, and so my question would be, can you still work with a landlord to try to stop that process? Are you able to help maybe pick up some of the back rent or help
yes,
these folks
uh-huh.
and they can stay
yeah.
where they are mm-hmm. and not have to move? Is that an option sometimes?
Yes. We usually look at when it was issued, and then we'll contact the landlord if they're willing to talk to us. Then we'll let them know, okay, he or she's 3 months behind. We'll help them catch up.
Right.
And then maybe we'll keep them on our program also since they qualify. We'll help them out with their rent too. And a lot of them are for it. You know, they'll say, okay, we'll work with you. And then we'll give them our documents that they need to fill out themselves too. And then they give that back to us and we start the process there.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I guess we should give a shout out to the landlords who work with you in your programs, right? Because without them, you wouldn't have as much housing stock to choose from, right? When you have these clients coming in, if the landlords wouldn't want to work with you.
Yes, uh-huh, definitely. And there's quite a few of them that work with us, and others are new to the program. Mm-hmm. I usually enlighten them what we can do and can't do, and they usually try to work with us a lot of times.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so if there's a landlord listening and watching us this morning, they can still reach out to your office to maybe get on your program or learn more about it?
Yes.
And how to become
give
eligible?
Us a call.
Because I know you have certain standards that those housing units have to meet in order to be eligible under your grant programs.
Yes, and those policies are guidelines that I go by are under HUD, mm-hmm. and they can look it up on under HUD inspection and give you an idea of what I look for. And basically, it's just to make sure that there's no windows that are busted, no holes in the walls, the door locks, double lock, there's smoke detectors, the stove and oven works, and then there's ventilation in the bathroom. Either a window or a vent will be considered ventilation
okay.
in the bathroom.
Some kind of exhaust fan with, or a window would
yeah,
work, I guess,
fan.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Then all the outlets work. If there's an outlet, there's no cracks on the outlets, covers. Basically, yeah.
Okay.
And it's pretty simple inspection. I mean, it's not really...
pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Right, I would think. So that's important as well. And I'm sure you can always use more housing units to have available, right, when the folks come
yes,
in.
Uh-huh.
You were mentioning the wait list that you've mm-hmm. got, so it sounds like you've got almost a wait list for every size of housing unit that you could look for.
Oh, definitely, and I also when there is a unit available, the landlords are nice enough to give me a call, say, hey, Doug, I get a two-bedroom available. You have anybody, family looking for a two-bedroom?
Nice. I
say, sure, I'll send them over.
Okay. Very good. Good to know. And the other thing I wanted to ask you about, Douglas Joe, is the issue with evictions that are coming. We know during COVID there's been a moratorium on evictions in New Mexico. I have not heard any time that may be going away. Mm-hmm. But eventually, I think, we hope, as we kind of return to some type of normalcy, that might be going away. And so for folks who may be having a little tight budget or maybe running a little bit behind, but they are not evicted, is this something that they need to be concerned about and aware of to try to get back up to current status with their landlord before this happens, if it does, when it does?
Yeah, I guess for the tenants, if you're out there listening, try to avoid an eviction, catch up with your rent, because a lot of landlords look at eviction, or if you have that in your background, they're not going to consider you for another unit. So just keep that in mind, work with your landlords, and pay. Try to catch up on your bills if you can't. Like Scott was saying, that you know, come to our office and we'll help you catch up with your rents and keep you in, good rapport with your landlords.
Right, yes. That would be good. And but some people do come to you, right, with an eviction on their in their past, and I can't say that it limits you as to what you can do to help them, but it really is up to the landlord, I guess, whether they want to accept you as a potential renter or not with that eviction on your in your background.
Yeah, as long as you give us, your eviction is like not like tomorrow's Friday, you come to our office Friday and your court date is Monday, then that's a little too late, okay? So, because the court date's already set and no one can change it, not the landlord or our office. We can't intervene. So that's, you know, you have to go through that process. But if you can avoid before there's a court date set, then give us our office call with your eviction notices. Then we'll give the landlord a call and see if we can work out something where we can help you catch up with your rents.
Gotcha. That's important. And I guess that maybe the reason for the eviction, do the landlords want to know that too sometimes? If they're bringing them a client, it's a medical bill and that was the reason they couldn't pay the rent, that's maybe one thing.
Yeah,
if they just
they
decided
got laid
not,
off,
right.
They can't pay their rent.
Right. But if they just decided they wanted a new TV and didn't pay the rent that month, that's a little different story, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is.
I mean, if you were getting paid during the COVID period and you decide not to pay your rent and that's why you got behind, you got evicted for that reason, then the landlord's not going to feel good about that, putting you in their unit.
Right.
But if you got laid off or your pay was, let's say, lowered, then they'll consider that, you know.
The more reasonable.
Yeah, more reasonable. Yeah.
Sure.
So it's no fault of yours.
Right.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me. And so we're talking before this morning about furniture, and you sometimes collect or will pick up if someone has some furniture that they're no longer using, and you sometimes find a use for that with some of the clients that you're working with who maybe just come and don't have anything and are going into maybe an unfurnished place, and some of this gently used furniture can maybe help furnish a place for a family or someone that's trying to get a new start?
Yeah, I just housed, I think, two individuals over the weekend, and they came without furniture. So I'm trying to go out and look for free mattresses or a couch that fold outs into a bed, things like that, and I'll come by and pick it up and haul it over to the apartment so they have a place to sleep on.
Gotcha.
But, a lot of them come without furniture.
Yeah. Understood. And you work with some of the thrift stores as well to help
work
people?
Yeah, I with the ARC and also, I guess, that church over there off of Butler near Mesa Shopping Center.
The Restore, maybe, through the Riverstone Church, right? Is that the
Riverstone
one we're talking about?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And a great resource as well for families. I definitely know that well.
Oh, definitely.
So. Good to know. So if folks would like to reach out again to you, they can do that. And so I know we said your phones aren't working at the moment, but if they wanted to write down a phone number and try and keep trying as you get the problem fixed, they should be able to get through hopefully later on today or tomorrow for sure, we hope.
Yeah, and just leave me a message. It's 505-566-5869.
Okay.
And I'll get back with you because most of the time I'm not in the office. I'm usually out in the field.
You're out driving people around to look at places, it sounds like, to me, and inspecting places, right?
Yes, inspecting places, meeting with clients. Because a lot of clients tell so, you know, just we housed one over the weekend, and he didn't know how to use a thermostat, so he gave me a call. Say, hey, Doug, can you help me with my thermostat? I don't know how to work it.
Right.
So things like that.
Something that's new. Mm-hmm. Never had to deal with that before.
Yeah. Definitely.
Very, very true. And talk to me a little bit about affordable housing, because, again, that's an issue that a lot of communities are facing, right? And it's fun. We could have plenty of apartments and rentals, but the fact is, are they affordable for people, right? And they can use your program for a while, but not forever. And mm-hmm. Are folks being able to afford these rents that are being asked in San Juan County these days, or is that part of the problem?
I see it right now. I haven't had no problems right now, because usually, let's say we have a one bedroom for 700, and I'll run it in. I have a website called affordablehousing.com. Mm-hmm. So I go on that and I do comparison, because I have to do three comparisons for that 700 on a one bedroom.
Okay.
With the same amenities.
Right.
Maybe, it has a laundry room, or washer and dryer hookup, dishwasher, things like that. So I enter all that information, then I check the radius around Farmington, and then see what comes back. Then if there are other units around 700, then that's affordable. It's reasonable, more or less.
Right.
So, but if you're looking at a one bedroom that's 1500, that's not reasonable.
Not here. Right.
No. That's too high.
Right.
Or even 1,200 is too high for a one bedroom, because, again, I'll use that affordable housing website and enter the information, and it'll come back as not reasonable.
And that website is pulling in data, I guess, from other sites, I guess, about maybe incomes and things on that line, and poverty levels and all those types of other maybe national numbers that come in to try to calculate what is affordable in certain communities. Because, like we said, 700 might be good here, mm-hmm. but if you're in Los Angeles or New York City, 700 will maybe get you a parking space.
Well, I don't populate that far out.
I see.
I just populate within the Farmington, Aztec, Bloomfield, and Kirtland, mm-hmm. that radius.
Right.
Yeah. So sometimes at the beginning, when I use that system, it'll do like maybe 0.5 radius for me. And let's say within Farmington, 0.5 radius, and it comes back not reasonable because I didn't go far out enough, so what I can go back into the system and extend that radius, maybe 2 miles out around Farmington, then hit the button again, then after that it'll give me three similarities.
I see. So it's dependent on where the place is located, I guess, mm-hmm. is what you
said. Yeah, it's just a location, so gotcha. Then it'll come back reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Very so good. That's a really good website for me to use instead of doing it manually, where
sure.
I have to go around, and that'll take too much of my time.
Right.
Yeah, but now I can just enter their information, get this done within about 2 minutes.
Right, and then I guess you can use that to report back to your grantors that this is how you're spending their money on mm-hmm. these reasonable rents on these apartments.
Yeah, and that prints it all out for me, and mm-hmm. we put that into the folder when the auditors do come, they pull that out, and then we explain to them that this is what it is.
Right. And so the biggest demand, you were telling me earlier, is for these one-bedroom apartments, right? So there's a lot of single people or couples that are
a lot of single people that are looking for one bedrooms. Yes. And I think out of the dozen that I have, they're all single. Yeah.
Okay.
Then the two-bedroom is probably just a single parent with kids.
Mm-hmm.
Then the four-bedrooms is just a whole family.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's who you have on your waiting list right now.
Yes.
Looking for places.
And a lot of times the process is that we'll give the documentations to these clients, and if they like a unit that they see, we give them two forms that the landlords fill out. They call it the request for lease approval, and then the other one is the rent reasonable. So the landlord just fills those forms out, and the client gives those back to us. Then that's where I run my comparisons to see if it's reasonable for them to move in. If it's reasonable, then I'll call up the landlord and schedule an inspection with them. And I'll explain to the landlord what the inspection is, the purpose of that.
Right.
And most times they'll be there, and we'll walk through the apartment, and I'll let them know where the deficiencies are, if there are any. And if there's not, then it's good. You know, a lot of times I've been passing them. They're pretty all up to standard.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Well, you've been working with them for a while now, right? So they probably know
going
what you're
going
to look for.
Now.
Yeah, so they know what you're looking for when you come to see them, so
yes.
That's important. Well, Douglas, thanks for coming in this morning. Before we go, one more time, the phone number and the address, if folks want to try to get through and call you. Again, the phones are, they've been having a bit of a problem. So if you get a recording that your number's been blocked, it's not you. Try back, because that hopefully will be fixed here by the end of the day today.
Yes,
is your hope.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Because
we do case management over the phones.
Yeah, of course.
Because you have some of these clients that don't have vehicles, so they just call in. We do our case management with them.
Sure.
So the phone is very important. But they also email us too, so but our emails are working. And
well, let's give all that information out. What's what's the phone number? What's the email address and the and the physical address?
So my phone number again at the office is 505-566-5869. Then my email is Joe as in J-O-E, D as in David at sjcpartnership.org. And then our physical address is 1515 East 20th, Suite C.
There you go.
And we're just on 20th Street, right across Grease Monkey.
Okay.
Next door to Durango Joe.
Right there. So you're caffeinated all the time.
Every morning.
That's important. So very good to know. And it's great that the office is open again because it wasn't for a while during COVID.
So we're people open can come from in. 7 to 5.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Monday through Friday.
Yeah, Monday through Friday.
Okay. Very good. Mm-hmm. Douglas, thanks for coming in this morning. Thanks for the work that you're doing. I know there's a lot of families that that certainly appreciate it because without the programs that you talk about and have available to them, there'd be a lot less options for folks to find housing here. So thanks for all you do.
Definitely. And just want to thank everybody out there, the landlords, for working with us.
Right. Very true. It's important for that as well. Thank you very much. My guest this morning, Douglas Joe from the San Juan County Partnership here on KSJE.
KSJE and San Juan College present the Student Success Coaching Tip of the Week.
Hello, my name is Emin Chi from the Student Achievement Center. We are bringing you week 6 of Coaching Tips of the Week. Learning new information, students learn new ideas by relating them to what they already know and then transferring them into their long-term memory. Meaningful practice with content can both cement student learning and making it easier for students to remember content in the future, enabling them to tackle increasingly complex challenges. The more knowledge that students have about a specific problem, the easier it will be for them to recognize the important aspects of the problem and how to solve it.
The Student Success Coaching Tip of the Week, presented by KSJE and the Student Achievement Center at San Juan College. KSJE is supported by the Farmington Civic Center, bringing a full slate of entertainment to Farmington and San Juan County. Todd Oliver and Irving the Talking Dog, Monday, March 7th at 7:30 p.m. The Farmington Civic Center, 200 West Arrington in downtown Farmington. Find out more online at fmtn.org/shows or at 505-599-1148. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.